It's What's the Buzz, our weekly chat with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
Yes, and on the line we have Emily. Mordena, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Good morning. Hi. How are you?
We're good. Thank you so much for joining us to have a chat.
And, absolutely.
So we're talking about ketamine, I believe, also known as horse tranquilizer, I've heard. could you tell us, tell the listeners who may have not have heard of ketamine, what ketamine is?
Absolutely, yeah, horse tranq, Special K. Special K is another common one here. Ketamine, for those who don't know, it's a drug that belongs to a family called dissociative anesthetics, which is a big word, but it essentially is a substance that kind of makes you feel disconnected from yourself, from your body, kind of causes that dissociation. It's in the same family as drugs like PCP or NOS is another one in that family, nitrous oxide, that people commonly know. They share some of those kind of similar effects.
Awesome. And what, I remember going to a festival one time and it might have been the Drug Foundation or the drug testing people, but they gave me a sheet that sort of gave what you could and couldn't take with ketamine. And I saw that alcohol was considered sort of dangerous to be taking with ketamine potentially. What's the reason behind that?
Well, so ketamine, it's a depressant, so it acts on your central nervous system and kind of slows down your brain and body functions. And so any other drug that's also a depressant, so we're thinking, your alcohol, your benzos, your opioids, any substances like that, they also slow down those body functions, and the combination of those can be really dangerous, right? Because it can slow them down so much so that you can stop breathing, which is a big risk. But also, one of the things with alcohol that we tell people, it's really commonly not known, is that, of course, if you drink too much and you end up passing out, then you can choke on your own vomit. But with ketamine, because it can make your whole body essentially be temporarily paralyzed, if you do end up in a K-hole, we call it, where you can't move your body and then you do throw up, that's a real risk with alcohol. So we generally say, you know, don't use them together if you can avoid it. If you are going to drink and use ketamine, space it out as much as you possibly can. Give yourself a little bit of time for the alcohol to wear off before you use your ket or vice versa.
And in terms of sort of other substances that are out there that might be posing as ketamine, is that a big problem for the sort of ketamine that's out there on the black market?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually just had a look at our drug checking data from Tamaki, and just about around 10% of ketamine we checked between January and March this year was not as expected. So it was either ketamine and another drug or another drug altogether. So definitely something to worry about. We see various things sold as ketamine just depending on the time of year. But we've seen some pretty gnarly stuff. We not that long ago actually had heroin that was being sold as ketamine, which is pretty scary because obviously the risk of overdose is really high if you're taking what you think is ketamine, but it's actually heroin. So we just, you know, really encourage people to come to a drug checking clinic. You know, it's easy, it's quick, it's safe, it's legal, it's confidential, and then you can go in knowing what you have, and then you're able to kind of make better harm reduction choices.
Yeah, and you mentioned briefly K-holes. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit more about what a K-hole is like? Because I've, you know, heard on the streets that it's not a good spot to be in.
Totally. And look, I should say about K-holes, if there are people who, you know, choose to take enough ketamine to get into a K-hole and they're prepared and ready for that, and that's one thing. But there's a lot of people who use ketamine and aren't expecting to go into a K-hole. And a K-hole, essentially, for people who don't know, is where ketamine essentially causes you to kind of lose control of your body and causes temporary paralysis. That's what it's used in medicine for. And in a K-hole, if you take too much ketamine, you can essentially end up not being able to move or speak. And it can last kind of 45 minutes to an hour. So as I'm sure I don't have to tell you guys, if you're not expecting that to happen and you're all of a sudden at a party or a gig and can't talk or move your body, that's a super risky situation to be in. You know, so our main tip is just, especially if you're not, if you don't have experience using ketamine, just start with a low dose, see how it makes you feel, and then, you know, don't just say, oh, my mate's taking this much, so I'm just going to take that much, and hope that it affects me the same way, because every body is different.
Totally. Good advice. I mean, if you're in a K-hole, what is the advice, kind of, if you're at a party or a gig, you know, and it is quite a dangerous spot to be in, what advice would you give to people?
Totally. I mean, I guess, you know, one of the biggest things you can do to prepare is just make sure that if you are going out and you're planning on using ket, that you have people around you that you trust, you know, that can help you if you get into a tricky spot. That's obviously number one harm reduction tip. But if you come across someone in a K-hole, the most important thing to do is just to keep an eye on them, put them in the recovery position. You probably know the stable side position with the hand above the head supporting the neck, and, you know, just so that if they do choke or if they do throw up, that they're fine. And just keep an eye on them. You can check and just make sure that they're still moving their eyes, that they're still conscious. But for most people, a K-hole is going to, they're going to come out of it, you know, in the space of an hour. So really, it's just reassuring them that they're going to be okay. Certainly don't try to feed them anything to drink or eat, and just, you know, reassure them that, that they'll be all right and they'll come out of it. And if you have any concerns, obviously, call 111. You won't get in trouble for calling the ambulance because somebody's used drugs, and it could save their life. So if you're concerned at all, obviously seek that medical support.
Yeah. Totally. And what do we know about the sort of supply of ketamine? Do we know where it's coming from, who's making it, and how it's getting out there?
Great question. I mean, look, we don't really, because it comes in through a whole variety of channels, as do most drugs in Aotearoa. But what I will say is that the global supply of ketamine has increased a lot since about 2019, and then in New Zealand kind of during and post-COVID, we've seen a huge uptick in the amount of ketamine being used all over the world. And so we're starting to kind of learn things that we didn't know about ketamine when it wasn't so common. You might have heard of, like, ketamine bladder. I'm not sure if that has popped up when you've been talking about ketamine, but it sort of happens when people use ketamine regularly. They get this cystitis inflammation in their bladder, and it can be actually really risky.
Wow.
But that's not something that we saw, you know, say 10 years ago, because ketamine wasn't really that available, and so we weren't seeing people using it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So we're learning a lot about kind of harm reduction and the effects of ketamine on the body because there's been more use.
Yeah, totally. And I've also heard recently that ketamine is being used in trials to help with kind of anxiety, depression, etc. Do you think we'll learn more for all of society through these trials?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's really exciting that, you know, there are trials that are happening, like you say, in New Zealand, of using ketamine, which is medically used. And if you've ever had surgery or had a broken bone, you've probably had ketamine before, whether you knew it or not. But it is really, really interesting that it's being used, and it has had some great evidence of success for treating depression for people who have tried things like SSRIs and they haven't worked. So I think we are going to learn a lot more about the effects of ketamine, but also, you know, its potential therapeutic benefits through these trials that are happening in Aotearoa and across the world. So it's definitely a space to watch for sure.
Wow. Hey, thank you so much, Emily, for your time,
Emily,
and chatting to us about ketamine.
Yeah, I learned.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, and we learned a lot.
Yeah, I feel like there's good risk kind of reduction tips there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much, team. Have a good one.
Yeah,
thanks,
you too.
Emily, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
This is The Wire, and that was What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
Not The Wire. You want to know.
Wrong sting.
Not The Wire. This is Breakfast.
Breakfast. What song have you got lined up for us after that?
Thought it was only fitting. I was, as we were talking, I was like, oh, there's a song about being in a K-hole. and I found it. It's by Alex Cameron.
And it's just called K-hole.
Yep.
Great.
Solely.
Let's hit it.
Based.